welcome to our program. We're in our second message in the series on the subject of grace. We'll be in the book of Genesis. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have your Bible ready. Background music says, since God before us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last, and we will. But in between now and then, we're going to need the grace of God if we're going to get through. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8, where we have the first mention of grace, and that is Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The last mention of grace is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 2. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, the Bible is saturated with the subject of grace. In the book of Genesis, we find the word grace, sometimes translated from the original as favor. Between the two words, we find it 14 times. Today, Genesis 6 and 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now
reading in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God has always had a remnant. You go back all the way to Noah here, and there was only 8 of them that got on that ark, but he's always had a remnant. You get up to the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah says, had it not been for a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, and we would have been as Gomorrah. We get up into the New Testament era, and we just had a series on the birth of Christ here at Christmas time, and we see there was a very small remnant that really knew what was going on. There was the shepherds out in the field. There was a couple of people in the temple that knew what was going on. Of course, Joseph and Mary. That was about it. All the big shot meetings were going on in the temple, and they're going through the motions. They didn't have a clue what was happening around them. always a remnant. The Lord only had 12 people. One of them was a hypocrite. When he was ministering here for 3.5 years, the crowds were following him for a while, and they said, "Oh, what do we need to do that we might work the works of God?" You can read about it in John chapter 6. Jesus told them what they needed to do, and they followed him no more. As a matter of fact, the next chapter says they're trying to figure out how to kill him. Well, we're back here with Noah. Noah, the Bible says in verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's what he was. What did he do? Well, down in verse number 22, it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Well, back in verse 10, we read, "And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Well, it's an interesting thing here that we find right away in this story that Noah was on talking terms with God. Are you on talking terms with God? He said in verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant." Now he's on talking terms with God. "With thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And to every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Well, there's a lot of instructions here. I hope you're listening carefully, Noah. Well, he was. It says in verse 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." According to all that God commanded him. That phrase is in the Bible quite a few times. Exodus 40, verse 16, "Thus did Moses, according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he." In Numbers chapter 1, verse 54, we read, "And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they." And then there was Joshua. We read in Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." He said, you need to observe to do. Well, sometimes we observe to learn, I think, and get some more knowledge in our head. What we need to do is observe to do and get that knowledge out of our head and in our heart. But he said to do according to all the law. Then he said in verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh, today we say, oh, that's really nice. I think I can handle this job all by myself. No, you can't. If we just get serious about letting God have all of us, and we will observe to do all that he tells us to do, then he said, I'll make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 6, we said, it says here, and she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. It's a good idea to listen to godly people when they give instructions. Ruth found that out. Well, that phrase, according to all, is in the Bible 109 times as you go through the Word of God. Well, what is grace? What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Now, to merit something is to be worthy so as to deserve praise or reward. To be unmerited is not worthy to deserve praise or reward. The Bible says in Luke 17:10, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Years ago when I came to Sarnia, this little church, it was just a rundown little building and a very, very small group of people. And a pastor friend of mine said to me, you're taking that church in Sarnia? You know, after all these years you've been serving the Lord, you deserve to have a big church and have an office there and have a secretary and all these. I stopped him. I said, where did you get a silly idea like that? All I deserve is to go to hell. And because of the grace of God, I'm not going to hell. I received Jesus as my personal Savior when I was 12 years old, and I'm on the way to heaven. Well, what grace is unmerited favor of God. What grace does? Grace gives us the ability to manage every God-given responsibility. Now, to manage something is to be in charge of something. And so God says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. Well, maybe Noah's thinking that, well, yeah, there's only 8 of us. Now, doesn't that be a really big boat? No, he gave him the instructions. Now, if we take the old Egyptian Babylon idea of what a cubit is, it's 20.5 inches. If you do the work here through this chapter, you'll find if those were the measurements, that boat would be 515 feet long. It would be 86 feet wide and 51 feet high. Now, he says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. There's no indication in the Bible that Noah had any idea how to build a boat. I'm sure he's looking at that saying, how am I going to do that? I want you to be in charge. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace gives us the ability to manage every God-given responsibility that he gives us. Not only does grace give us the ability to manage, to be in charge of what God gives us to do, but to maintain what God gives us to do, to continue our God-given responsibilities when things get tough. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, Paul said, then am I strong. Well, God will give you the grace to do what you need to do. He will give you the ability to manage. He will give you to maintain your responsibilities in this world. Years ago when I was young in the ministry and I was at the church there, Faithway Baptist Church in the Ajax area, God had me to start a church there. And I think we can handle that all right. When we began that church, there was my wife and I and our 2 little children. We went out and knocked on some doors, and we found this lady that was interested in what we were doing. She said she was certainly searching for something. Well, I said, we'll be coming by tomorrow morning with a bus here in this area, and if you get on that bus and come to our church, I think you'll find what you're looking for. Well, she did. She came, and she got saved. She trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Her 3 children and her husband got saved, and as time went on, we had the ad in the newspaper, said we're going to have a Christian school in the fall. Who's going to teach in our Christian school? Well, we opened that school. My wife was one of the teachers, and that lady who had been saved for 3 months was one of the teachers in the school also. And if you check on the internet, you can check Faithway Christian School. They're doing pretty good. All we need to do is figure out what God wants us to do and get involved in it, and He will give us the grace that we need to get the job done. Well, the next year, God laid it on my heart to start a college. Don't tell anybody, but I've never been to Bible college. Keep that a secret, if you will. People think I've been educated. But anyway, I got saved when I was 12 years old. I started studying the Bible every day, and I still study it about 40 hours a week. It's quite a book. But in any event, start a college. I just couldn't believe the Lord would have me to do that, but He obviously did. And so God gives the ability to maintain every God-given responsibility that we have, and God gives a desire to maintain things when things get difficult. And I could write a book on how things got difficult in the early stages of that school, that church, that school, and that college. But the Lord gave the grace, and the job got done. And I can say with Paul the Apostle, not me, but by the grace of God, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. You see, the thing about grace is it's optional. It's there. God says you can have it. I'll give you the desire, and I'll give you the ability to do what I've given you the responsibility to do if you'll just take advantage of the grace. That responsibility may be that of a housewife. It may be that of a father or a mother or a wife or a husband or whatever. God says, I've got the grace here for you. God looked down on Noah, who had no ability to build a boat, and it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God used that man. And God wants to use all of us today to do whatever it is our responsibilities are to do. All we need to do is say, Hear my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee.
Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will go and bring the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Soon the time for reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather to our harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear His blessed chime. Be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I